So the lesson of this evening, take it from me, the voice of experience. As you'll see there, this is from a track meet where you have one runner running and they have to hand off the baton and the other person has to take it and run with it. There are many different things that can go on at a track meet. You can drop the baton and that really messes up the race. Or there are different rules you have to follow, but the key is for the first person to run as fast as they can, pass the baton to the person in front of them, and win the race. So what we've looked at through Ecclesiastes is how to do things the wrong way. Solomon, who had godly wisdom, decided he wanted wisdom from under the sun, that being man-made wisdom, mankind's worldly wisdom. And he said, these are the things that are problems. So it's up to us as individuals to take heed to the advice that he's given us. So we look at our first, at the introduction. I see that there are three kinds of people out there, people that can count and people that can't. It was a joke. But when I put that in here, I thought this was fun. So I see mainly three kinds of people out there. There are those who never listen to any type of advice. Only listen with the intent to reply. Have you ever talked to somebody like this or studied the Bible with somebody like this? You're sharing what the Bible says, and when they respond, it's not even responding to what you had said. They instead want to tell you what they think or what they feel or something that's opposed to the Bible. And they don't want to listen to what the Bible says, or people that continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over. And as Einstein called that, was insanity. Do the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. I'm on Facebook, a lot of us in here on Facebook, and I'm sure we've all seen the teeny bopper teenagers that post, I'm done with dating, I'm never going to date again. Men are stupid, boys are stupid. Fair enough, but you got to marry us. But you say, hey, you know, you talk to a Christian young lady, maybe you're casting your lure in the wrong pond. And instead of trying to find a good guy, they again date a knucklehead. Over and over, and you tell them this over and over, and it's just, you know, this really isn't doing anything. And you got to talk them off the ledge whenever that breakup happens. I had a Facebook status I wanted to put up, but Lisa said it was offensive, so I'm going to put it on, I'm going to say it in the pulpit instead. Whenever you've got these little psycho teenage girls, it says, I wonder how hard that nagging voice in the back of your mind is whenever a boy breaks up with you to go get a stupid haircut. So, I mean, you always see these changes, you're like, I'm going to cut my hair off and have a mohawk. It's like, hey, how about you just keep all your hair and try to look for a good guy? So, I guess there's another reason that I didn't put that on Facebook. It wasn't funny. But I do have a picture where people want short haircuts and ends up looking like Jim Carrey. It's got the straight across bowl cut. So there are those who don't listen to advice. You share with them advice, they act like they're listening, they don't listen. They don't want to change. They love what they're doing, even if they claim that they don't. The second type of person, those who seem to accept the advice, but do nothing about it. They're usually very imaginative in excuses for not following good advice. We'll say, hey, you know what? You need to do this. This is what the Bible says. Well, you know, I would have done that, but I had this happen, or but I've seen this, or I've done that, and I will be there. Chris, how many times have we studied with someone in our entire preaching careers, not here at North Jefferson, but how many times have we studied with someone and they're like, you're right, I need to get back in church, I will be there on Sunday. And we look for them, and guess where they're not? They're at services. We can see that the best type of living is Christian living. We see that time for worship to come together is a time where we can build one another up, stir one another up to good works, and worship is the icing on the cake. And we have some people that think they know better than God, so they can be swayed in a moment to listen to the advice, but when you're away, all of a sudden they go back to doing things that they want to do. And the third person, and the rarity it seems in our society, those who take the advice into consideration, think it through, and do something with it. They're a rare breed in danger of extinction. Whenever someone has a problem and they genuinely want to fix it and say, what can we do? And you open up your Bible and you look at scriptures and they see and go, I need to make that change. And then they do. Isn't that sad that that's a minority now? That you look to the Bible and instead of saying, oh, well, why don't we just do what God says? Say, well, I don't see a problem with that. You know, that's not how my Bible says it. Things along those lines. We've got to do what the Bible says. When we see that it says something, we should do that. Easy, cheesy, lemon squeezy. So we consider the three types of people. I guess the font that I had isn't on the computer in here, so it's going to look kind of fun, a little bit like the Finland flag. A little bit of geography there. Just need one more little white line on the side. It's weird that I thought of Finland. Taking advice requires willingness. Hubert Humphrey, Vice President to Lyndon Johnson, said the right to be heard does not automatically include the right to be taken seriously. Some people will want to stand up and voice their opinion on a topic that means absolutely nothing. I saw it on, CNN a couple of weeks ago. They had gotten a Jewish scholar, a man that was in the height of knowledge in the Jewish community when it comes to scholarly things. And an anchor decided that he was going to try to do battle with this man that's devoted his life to the studying of the Hebrew Bible or the Hebrew Old Testament. And I just sat back and I was like, this is so idiotic. This guy wouldn't know Hebrew if it hit him in the face. And finally, the Jewish guy said, I've devoted my life to this. Are you now an expert in this? And the guy was like, no, shut him down real hard, which I was pleased with. Because just because you talk loud, doesn't mean that we're going to take it seriously. The most important thing that we can share is the Bible. The most important thing that we can know is the Bible. There's Donnie back there. Donnie's working on his truck. Donnie's got a cool truck. Now, how stupid would Donnie think I was if I walked up, hey, Donnie, I know what's wrong with that truck. You got to get that Zapruder coil, get it off the Flufenwagen, and fire that baby up. Donnie might laugh. But what have I done? I've wasted his time just because he could hear me talk. Didn't mean I said anything worth saying. If we're going to be happy, if we're going to take advice, we need to be willing to take advice. Now, if Donnie sees that I'm talking out my ear, and he says, all right, JJ, there's no such thing as a Zapruder coil or a Huff and Puff or whatever I just said. And he says, hey, let me show you a little bit about the engine. Since you seem interested in it, let's talk about that. And he can show me all the different parts that have actual real names that I don't know. And I could learn those things, and then when I talk, I'd have a little bit of knowledge about it. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. We've seen through the book of Ecclesiastes that we shouldn't focus on money. We shouldn't focus on the houses that we live in. We shouldn't focus on so many different worldly things. We should focus on God, and we should make clear our intent, that we're attentive to Him. So we look at Ecclesiastes. We've been given wisdom. He has passed the baton. Are we willing to listen to what He had to say? We look in the 51st Psalm in verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. It's good to be back in communion with God and back with God. If you've fallen away, there's no better feeling than being back right with God. I remember I fell away in my early 20s. So glad to be back with God. And knowing that there was a separation. Taking advice requires us to be willing. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is nothing that is more important for us to read than the Word of God. There are things that are fun to read. There are things that are fun to do. There are places that are fun to go. But the most important thing that we can know that I just love the terminology there, that's going to be able to be powerful. And we see the two-edged sword piercing through all of these different things, tearing. The Word of God is that powerful. Why don't we follow what the Bible says? Why don't we put focus on how the Bible would have us to be? You know, taking advice requires engagement. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of osmosis or studying by osmosis. I tried this in fifth grade and had bunk beds. Maybe I should have said second grade because this sounds like a real silly kid. But I was in the fifth grade and had a hard science test coming up. And I decided, you know what, instead of really devoting a lot of time to studying, I am going to put this book under my brother's mattress because I slept on bottom. And I'm going to let that knowledge fall down on me as I sleep. Now, not only did I not know my math, but I couldn't find my math book the next morning. Osmosis doesn't work. Osmosis is a process of absorption or diffusion suggestive of the flow of osmotic action, especially a usually effortless, often unconscious assimilation. Meaning, I want to know something, but I don't want to work at it. Have we heard of those people say, well, you can learn Chinese by putting headphones on as you sleep. And you'll wake up speaking Chinese or speaking Spanish. No effort at all. It'll all be in your ear and it'll work great. I've tried some of that, I guess. But I woke up just my headphones in my eye or something. If we're going to take the wisdom that Solomon has presented to us, we're going to have to do it by engaging with the Word of God. We can't just sit back, even on a Sunday, sit back, listen to me, listen to Chris, listen to anyone who comes up and preaches, and then go, oh, you know what, I'll take their word for it. I'm good to go. And then never crack your Bible again. If we're going to take advice, we need to be engaged. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Rightly handling the word of truth. My sweet wife said this a couple years ago, and I've stolen it and ripped it off, is the Bible should shape our beliefs. Our beliefs shouldn't shape the Bible. When we approach the Word of God, we need to approach the Word of God with what God would have us to do, with what God would have us to say, and how God would have us to live. So we don't just do that by this is how I feel. We do this by the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If we're going to be engaged, we have to study God's Word. With taking advice requiring engagement, I couldn't help but think of Ezra. For Ezra had his heart set to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rule in Israel. I love the three-point process here. Is he set in his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach his statutes. He read it, he lived it, he shared it. We can make a direct application of Christian living. We need to read it and engage the Word of God. We need to do as the Bible would tell us to do. We need to share the good news. Taking advice requires action. Why ask for advice when you don't plan on taking it? What, do you just like hearing, I told you so? We've got people that you'll tell them, hey, you need to do this. They do the exact opposite and come back to you. It's like, I told you this would happen. You need to do things the godly way. Do things the right way. And then they'll go around, go out, do things the wrong way and say, what happened? Well, you did the opposite of what the Bible said to do. You didn't take the wisdom that has been shared with us. Don't base your decisions on the advice of those who don't have to deal with the results. Don't base your decisions on the advice of those who don't have to deal with results. If I'm a Christian, which I am, I'm not going to go out to someone who's a non-Christian and say, how do I fix my life? How do I fix this? What's wrong? You know, my kids don't mind me. What should I do? I keep doing this and that. You know what? What should I do? And they'll give worldly advice. And what's so unfortunate is just if somebody has doctor in front of their name, people ought to be, oh, well, you know, he said to do this. It's a direct violation of the Bible. But hey, you know, he's a doctor. I got a couple pieces of paper in my office. Doesn't mean I'm smart. We got to study the Word of God. We've got to do as God would have us to do. When we seek advice for Christian living, who should we go to? Christians. We've got fantastic elders, deacons. We got Chris. We got some, and a lot of members here that are fantastic. That you could go to any of your brothers or sisters and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. What can we do? And say, well, let's open the Bible. Let's find the answer. If we're going to take advice, the advice that Solomon gave in Ecclesiastes, it's got to be in action. We can't sit back and go, well, you know what? I thought that was a good idea. You know, I dig that. I could go with that. I'm going to go watch TV. You know what? That's great. You know, I'll see everybody next Sunday. So, if we're going to do as God would have us to do, let's put in action this wisdom, this advice. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We've got there across the brotherhood, we have pew warmers. And that's all they do for God is warm up a spot on a pew. If we're going to be as God would have us to be, we need to be doers. We need to be active. We need to be obedient. Jesus said this. We're going to get to that on the next slide. But Jeremiah 11 verse 6, the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. Jeremiah was preaching repentance to these people. And we know the result of that. They did not want to repent. Could Jeremiah have said, okay, God, you want me to go out and tell these people what they can do to be right with you? I'll do it later. You know what? I bet you they don't want to hear it, so I'll get back with you later, God. How do you think God would have liked that? How do we have this attitude oftentimes. We can make these excuses that we talked about earlier and just not be active. We look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Even here, listening is nice. Listening's good. We need to be active. We need to show action. We need to be a people who are ready to get up, a people who are ready to go, a people who are ready to do. If I want to be called righteous, I need to do what the Bible says and be active in doing so. If I'm going to take the advice that Solomon gave, not doing what God would have me to do is going to lead me down a path that I don't want to go, or that I shouldn't go anyway. We look at these three quotes from Christ in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Makes sense, doesn't it? You know, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. You're great. But then it says, well, what, if you say that you love me, I mean, they were telling him how much they loved him, but if they don't do what he said, do you really love me? John 14:15, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do as I command. There are people who are good people out in our community. They do good things. But if they're not obedient to the gospel, if they're not obedient to the word of God, they do not have a hope for heaven. Being good and being nice isn't the plan of salvation. We have things that God has demanded we do and do in a certain way. And when we do those things, then we can be right with God. And Jesus is saying this clearly. Do what I've said. If you love me, don't just flatter me. Do what you said you're going to do. Sermon's a little short this evening, so my apologies. I was a little under the weather this week. But we look at what's gone on with Ecclesiastes. A lot of advice was given. Don't focus on the worldly things, focus on God. Don't focus on doing things that you're going to find temporary joy in. Focus on things that you'll have eternal joy in. So if we're going to take this advice from the series of lessons Chris and I have done, we need to be willing to do so. If we're not willing to take advice, don't be surprised to continue to land in the same problems that you've always had. If you don't want to listen to advice, you're going to continue to do the same thing over and over. Taking advice requires engagement. You want to know the Word of God? Study the Word of God. That's what I like about our Wednesday night program. In 26 weeks, we'll have read the whole New Testament. Isn't that great? That's going to be fun. Reading over what we're going to be judged by on the Day of Judgment. It's fantastic. Why don't we engage ourselves in this? You know, someone who wants to make excuses to not read their Bible, what do they think they're going to be judged by on the Day of Judgment? You know, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't understand it. I got the ESV. It's easy to understand, and it's closer Greek for Greek than the King James. The Bible's not hard to understand. We can understand it. We need to be engaged in our Bible study. And that's not enough to know what God says, to engage in reading. But if we're going to take the advice that Solomon has given to us, we need to be active. We need to put this advice into action. If we're focusing too much on worldly things, we need to slow down and stop focusing on those things. Isn't that simple? Sometimes I feel like I'm teaching a little kids class. If we're not focusing on God, then we're doing something wrong. We need to be focusing on God. Now we'll paint turkeys on plates with our hand, put little feathers on them. So we consider what the conclusion of this matter is. Do what God says. And don't focus on what's going to perish. And it's fun to have new toys, isn't it? You got all kinds of electronics. You got iPads. You've got these. I saw a hovercraft, an actual working hovercraft, on the internet the other day, and it was going fast. I was like, "This isn't staged. This is real." I mean, we're not going to get it next year, but I still thought it was cool. We see all these fun things people devote their lives to. But what's going to happen when the earth fades away? Are you going to get to take your hovercraft to heaven? That sounds cool. That'd be awesome to take a hovercraft to heaven. But I don't need a hovercraft to go to heaven. I want to be there and be with God. Whatever's taking your focus away from God is doing you an eternal disservice. This evening, if you're not right with God, if you're falling short on willingness, engagement, or action, and you need the prayers of the congregation, don't hesitate to ask for prayers. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We want North Jefferson to be the strongest congregation we can be. Amen? Absolutely. If you need help, there is no shame in that. There's no shame in saying, I need you to help me up. I need you to help get back to my feet. If you need that help, do whatever it takes to get right with God. But if you're not a Christian, doesn't matter how nice you are. Doesn't matter how pretty you may be. Doesn't matter what type of benevolence that you do. If you haven't come in contact with the blood of Christ, you're lost. If you've heard and believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as John 3:16 states, ready to repent of your sins, as Christ said to do in Luke 13:3, ready to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 state, and ready to be baptized to be saved, as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, and to walk in the newness of life, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state, ready to be faithful until death. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, do so this evening. It's the best life that you can possibly live. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.